The rules are different for Kodshim. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the rules which govern drashos, that govern hermeneutics, that govern the forging and the deriving of halachos from the text of Torah Shebichsav, differ by kalatar kula from by Kodshim, from the realm of Karbanos, the realm of the sacred, the realm of the Beis HaMikdash. And on the surface, this seems to be a little bit strange, because if we understand the rules of drashos as being an inviolable set of principles that govern derivation of law from the written Torah, then why should it be that these principles change depending on the area of law which is being derived? And without offering a full explanation, we can offer a little bit of a precedent. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos tells us that there was a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira about deriving a gzeira shava, wherein Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira maintained that one may not derive a gzeira shava without receiving a tradition about the existence of that gzeira shava from one's Rebbe, and Rabbi Akiva maintained that one is permitted to derive such a gzeira shava. The context of this dispute is a machlokes about the nature, the identity of the mekoshesh, and various other agadic issues that pertain to the interpretation of Torah Shebichsav. And the question that arises on the position of Rabbi Akiva, who seems to derive a gzeira shava without a tradition from his Rebbe, is that the Gemara in Pesachim seems to indicate that everyone agrees, it's undisputed, that one may not derive a gzeira shava without a tradition from one's Rebbe. So how can it be that the Gemara in Shabbos, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, seems to derive a gzeira shava without a tradition, whereas the Gemara in Pesachim seems to indicate that all of the Tanaim would agree that one may not derive a gzeira shava without such a tradition from one's teacher? And I heard the answer from Rabbi Shalom Spitz Shlita, my Rebbe, that there are really two separate rules of drashos, one of which governs derivation related to halachic issues, to hilchasa, and a separate set of drashos, a separate set of rules which governs drashos pertaining to agadita, to pertaining to the non-halachic portions of the Gemara. And that the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that one requires a tradition from one's Rebbe in order to derive a gzeira shava, is referring to gzeira shavos which pertain to the hilchasa, to the halachos. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, who maintains that one may derive a gzeira shava without such a tradition, was referring solely to the area of agadita. Rabbi Akiva would agree with the Gemara in Pesachim that when it comes to hilchasa, one requires a tradition in order to darshan a gzeira shava. And based on this, Rabbi Shalom explained also some of the conflicting braisos about which midos, which hermeneutic devices may be used to derive information from the written Torah. Because every morning, right before Psuki de Zimra, at the end of Karbanos, many people are accustomed, indeed should be accustomed, to saying the braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, with 13 midos, 13 traits, is the Torah sought, HaTorah Nidreshes Bahen. And he goes on to list 13 or 16, count them up, they'll figure out how many there are, 13 midos with which the Torah is Nidreshes, with which the Torah is to be sought out. And the problem is that if one opens up a Gemara, Maseches Brachos, in the back of the Gemara, so after the Rush, maybe after the Marashah, in many editions they print various material pertaining to the overall methodology of Shas, the overall methodology of the Talmud. And one of the things that they print at the end of Maseches Brachos is a list of 32 midos, 32 traits that Rabbi Eliezer says are to be used for seeking the Torah. 32 midos shatorah nedreshes bahen. And on the surface, it seems to be strange. Is there a dispute? Is there a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Eliezer about the number or the identity of the traits with which HaTorah nidrashes? Indeed, as an aside, if one looks in Torah's Kohanim, all the way in the beginning, there are two other braisos, one which lists seven, one which lists another number, maybe six, traits that the Torah is nidrashes behen, and Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, in the fifth volume of his collected writings, goes at length to explain how the number, the 6 and the 7 and the 13, are all basically in agreement, that there's no real dispute between them. But he doesn't address the question of the 32 midos shatorah nidrashes behem. He doesn't explain how those 32 midos might all fit under the headings of the 13 that Rabbi Yishmael tells us. So Rabbi Shalom wanted to explain that really there's no dispute between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Eliezer, even though Rabbi Yishmael says 13 midos and Rabbi Eliezer says 32 midos, because Rabbi Yishmael is talking about the midos which are used for deriving hilchasa from Torah Shebichsav. And there's only 13 midos, whereas Rabbi Eliezer is discussing the midos which are to be used for deriving agadita from Torah Shebichsav. And therefore, he has a wider range of midos shatorah and nidrashes behen. There's no dispute at all. One is for hilchasa, one is for agadita. Using this, one might perhaps go a little bit further, because Tosfos on Daf Nun Amud Beis in Zvachim seems to tell us that the threshold, the line, the border between Kodshim and Chulin is not such a clear border. Tosfos asks a stira that there seems to be a law pertaining to Kodshim, pertaining to the sacred, pertaining to the Beis HaMikdash, which violates the rules which the Gemara itself sets up for deriving halachos about Kodshim from Torah Shebichsav. And therefore Tosfos says that it's imperative that we narrow our definition of what counts as Kodshim. Kodshim doesn't mean anything pertaining to sanctity, anything pertaining to the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, says Tosfos, Kodshim means halachos pertaining to the Guf HaKarban, to the actual offering which is brought, the actual matter which is being offered up on the Mizbeach, not just things in general pertaining to the Beis HaMikdash, which is a bit of a narrower definition of Kodshim than we would have thought originally approaching the Seder of Mishnayos called Kodshim, but that we would have thought, you know, necessarily when looking at the Rambam or at the Torah Shebichsav areas which pertain to Kodshim. Says Tosfos, these rules of Drashos only apply to the areas of Kodshim which pertain to the Guf HaKarban. That's the rule of Tosfos. And again, on the surface, this seems to be counterintuitive, because what's the logic in limiting the definition of Kodshim in this manner when it comes to Drashos? But once again, we may find precedent by analyzing this idea that halacha and agadita have two separate rules for drashos, because the threshold and the border, the boundary between halhilchasa and agadita is very, very unclear. If one looks, Rav Volbi in the Hakdama to Ali Shur talks about two possible tests for determining what's hilchasa and what's agadita. One test is the Rif will only quote hilchasa. So if it's in the Rif, it must be hilchasa. Presumably that means it's not agadita. But on the other hand, he says, the Ein Yaakov will only quote agadita. You won't quote hilchasa. So if you look at the Ein Yaakov, it must be agadita. It can't be hilchasa. But there are some pieces of Shas, some portions of certain Masechtos, which are quoted both by the Rif and by the Ein Yaakov. So how should we understand that? Are they hilchasa or are they agadita? And there's differences between hilchasa and between agadita. Person's not supposed to derive halacha from agadita. They say, okay, it's a machlokes about how to define the threshold between hilchasa and agadita. Okay, so the threshold between hilchasa and agadita is very unclear, it's very murky. There are areas which may be defined as one and may be defined as the other. For example, you would have thought that hilchasa means something which pertains to how we should conduct ourselves. If there's a consequence, if there's a nafkamina for our conduct, then it's hilchasa. If there's no nafkamina for our conduct, but only for our philosophy, only for our ethics, only for our understanding of Jewish history and of parshanas hamikra of understanding the text of, you know, of Torah Shebichsav without any nafgamina for our conduct, we would think that that's agadata. If there is a nafgamina for our conduct, we would think it's hilchasa. But that definition certainly doesn't work, because Chazal say that we don't derive halacha from agadata. So that would seem to imply that there's a potential to learn from agadata rules for how to conduct ourselves. And Chazal say no, because the source of those potential rules is an agadic passage, the rules should not be derived. So clearly there is potential to derive rules of conduct even from agadic passages. So it's very, very difficult to pinpoint what is the threshold between Hilchasa and agadata. And again, the definitions are counterintuitive to what our initial intuition would be. It requires a deeper analysis. So the same is true for Kadshim and for Chulin. Kadshim and Chulin are like Hilchasa and Agadata. The rules for deriving Kadshim from Torah Shebichsav differ from the rules for deriving Chulin. And not only that, but the threshold between Kadshim and Chulin is not a 100% clear threshold. It's not anything pertaining to the Beis HaMikdash, anything pertaining to the sacred versus anything not, but maybe Kadshim is more narrow. It's defined as things relating to the Guf HaKarban. Just like Hilchasa doesn't just mean anything which pertains, which has a nafgamina for our conduct, but rather refers to a more specific subcategory of Talmudic passages that pertain, that have a nafgamina for our conduct. The precise definition, Tosfos tells us, between Hilchasa and between Kadshim and Chulin is Guf HaKarban. Between Hilchasa and Agadata is going to be a subject of dispute, and the logic of that dispute needs to be analyzed more thoroughly in a different context.